Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Celtics Talk Podcast. I'm Kyle Draper, joined as always by our insider, A'Sherrod Blakely. What's up, man?
What's going on?
Look like you got some sun, big fella. You hanging out in Jamaica? You partying on the islands over there?
Oh, says the guy who's out in West Coast. I hear you.
Dude, we both needed a little R&R, rest and relaxation, but we are back. And so much has gone on in the last week or so. Paul Pierce, we'll talk about that with our own Tommy Heinsohn. We'll catch up with him on the Gordon Hayward signing as well. Avery Bradley traded to Detroit. But first, let's get into this Anthony Davis stuff.
That's your favorite topic, I know.
And the only reason I'm doing this, Sherrod,
is because your producer told you to.
Exactly. And I told him we would talk about it for 30 seconds, so the clock is ticking.
29.
Give me your thoughts on Anthony Davis and on reports out there.
Amazing player. The Celtics would be a complete. I mean, just amazingly blessed if they were able to find a way to get him. But, you know, to me, that's just reaching. I mean, it's a great thing to talk about. It's a great thing to think about. And the Celtics, you know, if the Pelicans made him available, they'd be one of the teams in the queue trying to get in on that. But I just don't think it's going to happen. I just don't think that they're going to be able to put together the type of package that is going to entice New Orleans to make a move. And let's face it, the Pelicans, they've made the kind of offseason moves to where, you know, they have legitimate reasons to think that they can compete for that eighth and final playoff spot. You know, they added your boy Rondo.
My guy, you know, Rondo, yep.
And some other, among the many moves they've made in the offseason. And so I think they're going to be a more competitive team. And I think for Anthony Davis at this point, that's what he's looking for them to at least be able to sniff the playoffs, if not get there.
Well, it behooves Danny Ainge to be in a conversation with Anthony Davis in a potential trade. I mean, every GM should be thinking that way. And so this whole notion, this whole, you know, the Celtics are in on Anthony Davis. Every team wants to acquire Anthony
Davis. That doesn't make
them special. Right, it doesn't make them special. The key is, when will New Orleans want to trade him? And I don't think that's going to happen this season. First of all, if I'm New Orleans and things do go south and it's just totally untenable there, I'm looking to trade DeMarcus Cousins.
Well,
he's the guy I'm looking to
move.
Well,
see, the problem with that, Drapes, is that nobody's going to want to give you anything of value for DeMarcus Cousins.
You're crazy, telling you, man. A team like Orlando, Brooklyn, somebody that attract a star want DeMarcus Cousins.
We can't attract a star, so we'll attract a talented knucklehead who everywhere he's gone, he's been hurricane DeMarcus.
All-star caliber player,
nothing but destruction left in his
wake.
Teams are
desperate, dude. Teams are desperate.
I don't think they are, man.
I think they will be.
Particularly when you look at the way the NBA is structured now. Let's face it. You got Golden State and you got everyone else. Why in the world would you be desperate to add a guy who, as talented as he is an absolute knucklehead? And because of his knucklehead dynamic, he's not going to move the needle in terms of getting Pete Fannies in the stands. He's not that type of player.
He's a talent, dude. You don't think the Lakers might try to make
a
move?
I hope they do.
DeMarcus?
Magic, if you are listening, go out and get DeMarcus for your team.
Please do that, dude. Next year, maybe Paul George falls through.
Go ahead,
through.
Do it.
Maybe they don't get LeBron. Maybe they talk to DeMarcus.
There was
some interest from L.A. and DeMarcus Cousins a couple years ago.
And then they got wise. They woke up and realized, oh, my God, what in the hell were we thinking?
All right, that was enough of our Anthony Davis side.
Sherrod comes off the vacation with the W. That's what I'm talking about.
It was premature talk, to be honest with you. I mean, it's like saying, you know what, in 5 or 6 years, Steph Curry maybe. I mean, dude, it's all premature talk.
But I will agree with you on the fact that, yes, at some point this season, DeMarcus Cousins will be on a trading block because I don't think things will go right in New Orleans, health or not health issues. And you're going to see what everyone who has tried to move him in the past has realized. You are not going to get your money's worth. As talented as he is, you are going to take a hit because whoever is willing to trade for him knows we are going to take a hit.
Dude, you doubting DeMarcus?
I love DeMarcus' game. I just wouldn't want him to play for my team.
Get him in the right situation, I think he'd be a good player.
But the
problem, that's why maybe his boy Rondo might be able to settle him down.
Like, you know what? To me, the absolute best place in the world for him will be somewhere like San Antonio, where you know his talent is going to get an opportunity to shine, and he's dealing with a coach in the front office. He has no choice but to respect everyone who's rolled through that door has fallen in line. And if you're not going, they're going to make that clear from the jump before they even contemplate that. You come in here, you know how we do. Figure it out. Whatever you got to do to do what we do, figure it out now.
All right. We'll table the Anthony Davis discussion until the summer of 2019 when it's more likely to happen. But as of now, the Celtics, still wheeling and dealing. It looks like, obviously, Gordon Hayward, Marcus Morris, Aaron Baines. But Danny Ainge, he's not done. I'm looking at the roster, Sherrod, and I'm like, all right, they got 15 guys. The roster seems set, but – you think Danny Ainge is done?
No, I don't think he's done. I think Danny is hoping that he can pull off one more, what I would call Sam Presti-like move, where you don't even see it coming. And I'm going to give you a name. And this is a guy that I don't think the Celtics are going to be able to get. But, man, I'm a little surprised that he's still in a market. Nerlens Noel.
Man.
Why is he still – think about this. Think about this. Even with the moves the Celtics have made, they still haven't found that bona fide rim protector. I know when you add Baines and you add Marcus Morris, those two collectively from a defensive standpoint, their numbers are amazing. Have a 93.5 defensive rating when they're on the floor together when they were in Detroit, which is really, really good. But they still don't have that definitive bona fide rim protector, guy who can run the floor. And again, I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm a little surprised. I'm a little surprised that here we are in the middle, near the end of July, and Dallas still hasn't signed him. And the reason they haven't signed him is because the offer that they put on the table, he's not trying to hear.
But he's not – no other team wants to because they know he's a restricted free agent, Sherrod. And the Celtics don't have money. Where are they getting money from to make a signing?
You
sign and trade.
That's the only option.
Exactly.
That's the only option. You'd have to
exactly
sign.
Exactly.
And let's be real. There's some players who are still on the roster who – Dallas might be interested
who?
In, like, oh, I don't know, a guy, let's see, what's his name? Jay Crowder.
Don't say that.
Who came from Dallas. Who came from Dallas.
I love Jay Crowder. But Nerlens Noel.
He would, obviously it wouldn't be straight up. It would have to be part of a bigger deal. But what I'm saying to you
he's
is.
He's going
to
go back to Dallas.
He should
play
go
out
back
the
to
one
Dallas.
Year.
He should go back to Dallas. That, to me, is his best option. But if you're Boston and he's still available, why in the world would you not inquire about him?
Because you know what Dallas is doing. Dallas is being smart about this. Dallas is being smart. They hold all the cards. They said, Nerlens, go out there. Get your offer. Get your deal.
Let me tell you how this is going to backfire if they're not careful. Our good friend Gordon Hayward coming to Boston, okay? He turned down more money to stay in Utah, which, if you look at it on paper, comparable to the Celtics. It wasn't a huge gap between the two. People forget that when he was a free agent, kind of where Nerlens is now, yeah. He wanted to do an extension with Utah. So what did they say? No, go out there and get you an offer from someone else. And he did that. He got an offer from Charlotte.
And then they matched it.
And then they matched it. But you don't think in the back of his mind, he's thinking that, you know what? They really didn't show me the kind of love that they could. Why couldn't they have just made this offer from the jump? I got a feeling if Dallas plays this game out, at some point down the road, it's not going to happen next year or even the year after that, but at some point, they're going to want him to show loyalty.
Where's
and he's going to be like
for Nerlens Noel though. That's the thing. I think Nerlens gambled on himself obviously and thought
did.
The offers were going to be better. He's not getting anything, Sherrod. And so what's Dallas supposed to
do? It goes back to the point that you made that he's a restricted free agent.
Restricted.
I mean, teams are reluctant to go after restricted free agents unless they believe one, he's an ultimate difference maker, which I think Nerlens can help you, but I don't think he's that kind of guy. Or two, that team has already made moves that make it pretty clear that that guy does not figure into their plans. And so with Nerlens, neither of those happened. Dallas wants him back. They just want him back at the price that they want to pay.
Restricted.
That's
a restricted qualifying offer.
It's a tough spot for Nerlens, but I'm telling you, if Dallas gets him for what Nerlens believes is below market value, and I think
he'll
majority of folks see, as like for example, if he's getting Kelly Olynyk money, 4 years, like 4 years, $50 million or you know, something where he's averaging that kind of money, that's below market value. Because he is.
Is it really,
though?
He's
a bigger. Well, because the things that he does on a night in, night out basis, Kelly,
you are worth what you can get paid. Nerlens can't get paid anything right now, dude.
It ain't over yet, Draves. It's not over.
I would like Nerlens in a Boston uniform, no doubt, but I just don't see. Financially,
as
how
long
it happens.
As long as he's available, man. I mean, Danny Ainge has to do what he's got to do and just keep the phone lines open. Keep it open.
Sherrod, is he playing at the end of a game?
Nerlens?
Is he on the floor?
I think it depends on what
–
depends
I don't
on
know.
The team
the way the game's trending now, I don't think he's a guy that you put on there at the end of the floor. And I think that's why that's probably why his market is.
I think it just depends.
Like Olynyk, you can put in there a little bit because he can score, but
if that's what you need. But I mean, if you're playing, let's say you're playing Golden State.
Yeah.
You're going to need somebody on there who can run the floor, defend. He's got a better chance of playing against them at the end of the game than say, you know,
Baines or
a team like I don't know, Milwaukee, which has a lot of long, lengthy guys who can run up the floor and can score.
I would like for him to do it. You know, I don't know how
Jason Levine, by the way, our producer.
Oh yeah, yeah. He just
shout out to Jason Levine,
random
our producer
chiming in here on the Celtics.
Just gonna keep you guys in check.
No, you know what? If it happens, great.
Like I said, I don't think it'll happen, but I like the fact that.
But it's something to keep an eye on.
It's something you can't ignore.
Maybe not even right now, but you know, whether it's at the trade deadline or whatever.
This could be. Listen, this could be Gordon Hayward 2.0, where you don't get him now, but you laid the groundwork to get him like 2-3 years down the road.
It'll be interesting for the Celtics.
That's all I'm saying.
Financially, you want to get him now, obviously.
Right. But
because then when he becomes a free agent, unrestricted.
Yeah, but if he becomes like, you know, borderline all-star or an all-star, yeah. Because at that point, Al will be, near the end of his deal.
Yeah.
If someone might be looking for a 33-year-old veteran.
Making
$30 million, which, as crazy as it sounds, might be a bargain in like 3 or 4 years. Exactly, man. You got to keep all options open.
What's up with this Shane Larkin signing for the Celtics?
This is
nice player, you know.
He's an upgrade over what you would consider your third point guard. I mean,
so is he your third point guard?
The problem is that, I mean, if you sign him, that means you're probably not going to sign Yabusele. Because right now you're like 13, 14 guaranteed. You know, Kadeem Allen, he doesn't count because he's in a two-way joint, so he doesn't count. But you're like 13. And you got the kid from Germany who you're supposed to be bringing over. So that brings you at 14, and Yabusele was supposed to be 15.
Interesting. But they needed another ball handler. If you looked at their roster, you got Isaiah.
What?
You got Rozier.
You got Smart. So you got three ball handlers.
Nah, but –
you got Tatum, who's not a point guard. He's no means a point guard. But the way the Celtics, if you're playing positionless basketball, you don't need a point guard. You need someone to bring the ball up, initiate your offense, and run your sets.
They're probably trading Rozier for Nerlens Noel.
Exactly. Straight up, you know.
Do it.
And you might get a first-round pick from Dallas, too, in Sherrod's fantasy world.
Can I give you a mint for your pillow? Because you're obviously in a deep sleep right now. Here's a – man.
Dude, I'm just coming back from vacation, man.
We know, Drapes. We know.
So they did make it official with Gordon Hayward, but we still haven't seen Hayward in a press conference setting.
Haven't seen Marcus Morris in
Martin
a press
Morris,
conference.
I mean,
we saw the Barbecue King,
this
though.
This is like
your Baron A's in the building.
Your best free agent signing in history.
According to Danny Ainge.
Historic yet,
signing.
The only way we see Gordon Hayward is at Chipotle with Ainge or getting his hair cut, you know, in the North.
Getting a nice suit.
Getting a nice suit at Joseph A. Banks.
Joseph A.
When is this dude going to, you know, make a public appearance in Boston and talk to us media types?
I got a feeling it's not going to be too training camp.
Danny said September.
Well, think about it. What can he possibly say then? Or excuse me, what can he possibly say now that he can't wait till then to start?
Dude, he already had a conference call. First pitch at the Red Sox game. He should be doing all kinds of stuff, man. He is the face of the franchise.
Whoa! Pump
just
the brakes on
him
that.
And Isaiah Thomas.
Just making sure,
Be putting him out there as much as possible.
Maybe that's not who he is. Maybe he's that kind of star. And again, my concern with him, forget about basketball. It's fitting into the Boston culture. They have an expectation of their stars that's different than Salt Lake City. Yep. It's different than Butler. And I'm not 100% sold he's going to get that. Like, if he has a bad game or two and the fans are really on him, how's he going to handle that? It's different than a few people here and there talking about you in Salt Lake City as you go, you know, past the Mormon Tabernacle versus every single sports talk radio show will be ripping you a new one. I mean, Al Horford, you look at his body of work last season.
Right.
You would have thought that Al Horford averaged like 3 points, 3.2 rebounds, had a plus minus of like negative 2,756 the way he got ripped repeatedly. And yet all he did was do what he's always done, which is score, rebound, facilitate the ball, and win games. Now, Gordon Hayward, He's not used to being it.
He went to Butler to everything is.
I mean, think about this. So seriously, in real talk, he could average like 17-7. The Celtics could be like get off to a 20-10 start, 20-8 start.
Dude,
and it still might not be enough.
17-7 ain't going to get it done,
exactly.
Big fella.
Like, wait a minute, you average 22 in Utah. Why can't you average 22 in Boston?
Exactly.
You know. How come Jay Crowder is averaging two less points than you, and he makes like a third of what you make? What's going on with that?
It's Avery Bradley numbers.
Exactly.
That's true.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be, and I don't know how ready he is for that.
But yeah, but he's unlike Al. It's like Al. It's you have to really watch to notice how much he impacts the game. With Hayward, it's not. It's more like. Typical score. He's, you know, scoring.
But to me, I think that works to his disadvantage because I don't think with a guy like Isaiah Thomas, with Al Horford, with Jay Crowder, with the young boys who are coming on, I don't think he can produce the way we've seen him produce because he's playing with better players.
Yeah.
I mean, he's playing with better offensive players, I should say. And what we've discovered around here, and y'all know this as well as I do, is people love numbers. If you don't put up – they don't care as much about wins and losses as they do numbers, which to me was mind-blowing because that's, again, going back to Al Horford. He did that better than I think anyone on the team did as far as impacting the game in terms of wins and losses. And yet, again, you swear that he was like Mikey Moore 2.0 the way he was treated. It truly shocked me.
Is that everybody or is that a couple people that talk on the radio?
What, about Al? Oh, it's consistent. I mean, if you go to the barbershop,
yeah.
I mean, if people you go to the mall,
people were down.
And
on
his
Al.
Name comes up.
I was even down on Al. I mean, the dude had 8 points and 2 rebounds against Miami. 8 points and 5 rebounds against, or 7 points and 5 rebounds against Chicago.
But
you're the $30 million man, Al. Go out there and make it happen.
But see, that's what you don't get. It goes back to what our producer Jason said earlier. He impacts winning. That's what he does. That's why you brought him here. I mean, think about the franchise he left. Atlanta was a garbage pool, just a cesspool. Half garbage, trash, half cesspool. And he goes there, and all they do every year is get to the playoffs. He comes to Boston. What do they do in his first year? They win more games than anyone in the East.
No doubt
and granted,
about it.
You know, Cleveland, you kind of give their 53 wins with a little asterisk. Cleveland didn't exactly give it their best. But regardless.
But I'm not going to argue Al Horford with you, big fella. Because
you know you can't win.
No, because – my issue with Al was when Isaiah was out, they needed more offense, and I would have liked to seen Al step his game up. That's an old argument, though. We're talking about Gordon Hayward. He's increased his scoring average every year.
It won't happen again. He ain't averaging more than 22 this year. Nope.
So what's Isaiah's going to add? What is Isaiah?
Isaiah's
is he coming down?
They're both going to come down. I think you're going to see a much more balanced scoring from this group. I think – Gordon's going to be in high teens, maybe 2021.
If it's high teens, I got a problem with that, Sherrod.
So if he's giving you 19-7 a game, shooting like maybe 48-49% from the off-guard slash small forward position, shooting about 40% on
and
threes,
then
taking
the
fewer
is
shots
winning,
per game.
The key is winning.
Right.
The key is winning. That's what it comes down to.
But I'm looking
at the boys out in Golden State, you know, Steph Curry, Durant, both averaging, you know, mid to high 20s. I'm looking at Kyrie and LeBron doing their thing. I mean, so don't tell me, you know, because Gordon Hayward comes here, his offense is going to suffer. There's enough to go around. They got one bona fide offensive player on this team, and that's Isaiah Thomas. There's enough room for Gordon Hayward to produce offensively.
You do realize what you just did. You compared the Boston Celtics, a nice
they
luxury
got the same
vehicle,
aspirations.
With Golden State,
they got the
main block of the NBA.
Rod, they got the same aspirations.
You can't have the same expectations for the Maybach as a nice luxury vehicle. They're not the same, Drapes. They are not the same.
All right. But it's more scoring distribution.
It's
Drapes.
Exactly.
That's what you're talking about.
There's going to be more. Listen, when you talk about Golden State, you've got Steph, you've got Klay, you've got Draymond. And you got Durant.
That's a lot of mouths to feed. The Celtics, they only got one mouth to feed, and that's Isaiah Thomas.
So you don't think Jay Crowder is going to be looking to get some buckets?
Jay Crowder,
you don't think Jalen Brown?
Jay Crowder's
scoring. You don't think Jason Tatum is going to be
looking to get buckets
when he gets on the floor?
Jaylen Brown's going to increase you. Terry, don't worry about them guys, dude.
Oh, okay.
Gordon, it's 1 and 1A. Isaiah Thomas, Gordon Hayward. Everybody else, get in where you can fit in.
Okay. Gordon's going to get 22 at least again this year.
Exactly. Sherrod, okay. Like 18, 19 okay. points.
What do we got?
Okay.
Lunch. We bet on Sherrod. Syracuse lunch. Guys never pay their bets. You know that.
That's because we own the parlor. We don't need to pay our bets.
Oh, let's man. All right, let's move on and get our guy Tommy Heinsohn on the phone right now as we talk about Paul Pierce, the Celtics offseason, Summer League as well. Let's check it with Tommy, who's Mr. Celtic, I guess. This guy's been part of the organization for, what, 60 years
has
now?
Had a hand in every chip.
Yep. Let's hear from Tommy Heinsohn. Our good friend Tommy Heinsohn joining us on the Celtics Talk podcast. And Tommy, I hope you're enjoying your off season. I don't know about you. I'm ready for the season to start with all these moves the Celtics have made.
Yeah, I'll tell you, they've been very aggressive. There's no question about it. This long-standing thing dangling out there that the Celtics can't get a free agent has been blown to smithereens. Now, in two consecutive years, they've signed two players that are going to be very, very effective for them.
Tell me, with the signing of Gordon Hayward, how do you think he's going to fit in? Because obviously Boston is a completely different environment than what he's used to in Salt Lake City. And for that matter, even before that, you know, back at Butler.
Well, Gordon Hayward is really an ever-improving player. I can remember his first year. He was a little bit timid. He didn't really get the feel of what was going on. But now, I mean, he's a terrifically accomplished player. He's got the outside shot. He can turn the corner when he comes off picks, finish up strong at the basket, and defensively gets the job done. So he's an over a 20-point-a-game scorer, made the All-Star team, so it's a terrific addition.
Well, Tommy, you know, you're right about that, a terrific addition for this team. And I got to give Danny Ainge some credit. I mean, I remember.
I hope so.
I'm going to finally give him some credit, Tommy, because you know me. I live in a microwave society. I want this to happen overnight. But Danny has stayed the course, been patient, and here we are now, two major free agents in 2 years. And so I've come around. Danny's doing a fantastic job.
Finally.
Boy, it took a long time. I got to tell you, my man, you Philadelphians really are tough to prove to.
As we talk about this Celtics squad, Tommy, and obviously Gordon Hayward is here, but one guy they had to get rid of, or, you know, had to make a move to clear some cap space, Avery Bradley. How tough is it, you know, for you to see Avery Bradley now with Detroit?
Well, you know, the biggest problem the Celtics are going to have, I think, for the first month or two is developing the chemistry. You know, you not only lost Bradley, but many of the other ball players. I mean, Jarepko and Zeller. And, I mean, those type of players are difficult to find who are very competent players, willing to sit on the bench and come in and do the job when it needs to get done. So developing chemistry with two free agents plus the little guy that we have is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, when you talk about chemistry with this team, Jay Crowder, Gordon Hayward, Jay has made no secret about how he wasn't fond of when fans were cheering for Gordon when he played for Utah. How do you think those two are going to be able to mesh? And will that become an issue early on with this team?
Well, playing the two of them together, I barely heard that question, but I think you asked me how they're going to live together. I think they'll do fine. I think that when you talk to any basketball guy, I mean, Hayward can play two positions, so can Crowder. So I think it'll all fit together nicely.
Yeah, Tommy, and you mentioned chemistry and obviously, that includes the young players that the Celtics have coming in. Have you been able to see much of Jason Tatum at all? And what do you think about the young rookie?
Oh, yeah. I was amazed that in the summer league, I caught his several games and very, very impressed. He's long. He's got an aggressive game. He can score inside and out. He can pass the ball, and he rebounds. So he's going to fit in there, too. And Jaylen Brown, I think, is going to be a very important part of the puzzle, too, along with Rozier. So they've been grooming those type of players, and they'll come along with maybe one or two other guys from that summer league. So Danny's still in the prospect of developing players out of the draft.
Now, Tommy, when you talk about Jason Tatum, he's been compared to Paul Pierce. Do you see similarities in their games?
No, I think they're different type of players. I mean, they're both offensive players, and the potential for Tatum is that he's going to be a scorer. Paul Pierce came in. He was a gifted athlete, and he improved each succeeding season. I'll give you a for instance. It appears to me, after watching those summer league games, that his pet move is that fall away. Yeah, and he's been able to get it off in college on a continuing basis in the pros. If that's his main weapon, he's going to have to add something to it, because I think the only guy I ever saw that was able to get that fall away all the time, I shouldn't say a guy, there were two guys. One was Will Chamberlain, and he was head and shoulders over the top of everybody. And the other one was Elvin Hayes, who wasn't really that, you know, that much bigger than other people. But they had the knack of getting it off. So it's a difficult shot to count on and game in and game out. So I'm waiting to see. I think he's smart enough to know that he has to add things.
Tommy, you know, everybody's excited about Jason Tatum, and we know it's summer league, so how much do you think he could give the team this year, or should we temper our expectations? I mean, we're talking about comparing him to Paul Pierce, some of the other greats to
down
come.
Down boy,
through.
Down boy. Come on, down boy.
You know how we do it, Tommy. We always like to hype guys
please
up.
Please give the kid a chance to put a uniform on and get a feel for the NBA.
I agree. Even though I'm high on Jason Tatum, I agree.
That's that microwave mentality.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And Tommy, you mentioned, and we talked about Paul Pierce. Pierce was able to sign a one-day contract with the Celtics and retire as Celtic. Just your thoughts on Paul Pierce finally hanging them up and doing it as a member of the Celtics.
Well, I think it's really appropriate that the Celtics would do that, and Paul Pierce would want to do that. His entire career, the highlights of his career really was with the Celtics. He was part of a very, very exciting basketball team that did win a championship and did play in the finals against the Lakers again. So you look at Paul Pierce and the team, he carried the team for many seasons. And one of the things that I always admired about Paul Pierce's willingness to take those last second shots and to really thrive in doing it, to say, I'm the man, I'm going to do this and take the challenge and not worry about whether it goes in or not. Just the fact that he took it on a continuing basis got my applause.
Tommy, when you look at where Paul began when he got to Boston and where he obviously finished what will be a Hall of Fame career, where did you see the greatest areas of growth in his development? Was it as a player? Was it as a person? Where did you see that the greatest amount of growth for him?
Well, Paul Pierce came to us, he wasn't a four-year player at Kansas. He came out early, and he had to grow into the role that he ended up playing. To develop into confidence to do that. One of the significant things to me that was very unusual is when they named him captain, I mean, he was really impressed by that situation, so much so that he went out and he started asking questions about books that he might get on the leadership. That's the type of guy he was. He'd take a situation that was asked of him, and he'd give his darndest to make it work.
So, Tommy, if Paul Pierce, an L.A. guy, grew up a Lakers fan, can succeed in Boston, bleed green, eventually have his number retired, Why can't a Philly guy like myself get some love here in Boston, Tommy?
Oh, come on now. I mean, you're a steak and cheese guy. That's all I can tell you.
Steak and cheese guy, no doubt about it. Tommy, when you think of Pierce, is there one story that comes to mind or one moment that you'll remember him wearing Celtic green?
Well, you know, Paul Pierce, how many times did he take the final shots in games?
Seemed like every game, right?
Yeah, almost every game. I mean, the other guy that relished that role was Larry Bird. Mm. It requires a unique personality to want to do that. I've seen some great players who were reluctant to do it and who have since been called clutch players. And their teammates would have to beg them to take the shot because they were really the best shooters. So it's a unique personality to take on that situation. And, you know, in front of a huge building of fans to sink or swim with whether the shot goes in. Because you guys from Philly, you microwave guys, jump on somebody very quickly.
Having been a part of this organization for as long as you have been, would you rank Paul Pierce among the five all-time great Celtics?
The five all-time great Celtics?
Yeah, would Paul Pierce fall in that category?
I really haven't thought about. I mean, he's got to be one of the top ten. I mean, there's some remarkable people here. That I mean, Cousy was the guy that made the franchise. Russell made the championships. You got Larry Bird, who popularized the game of basketball in Boston to where you couldn't buy a ticket. So those three guys for sure. Then you got John Havlicek, who just carried this team for 15 years. So does Pierce fit in? Man, you know, there's he's one of the top scorers. I'd have to say strong consideration.
Yeah. Well, Tommy, you forgot one. Tommy.
What?
Tommy Heinsohn in that list, man.
Oh, please. Come on, guys.
I know. You know what? Pierce is no doubt up there and what he's been able to accomplish. Second all-time leading scorer in Celtics history. So many records. And one day soon, I would imagine his jersey, his number will be hanging up from the TV garden.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right,
Tommy. If it doesn't happen, there's something wrong.
Oh, you know that's going to happen soon, Tommy. All right, sure. My friend, it's always good catching up with you. Enjoy your off season and hurry back, man. I miss you. We need to do some TV together again soon.
Well, I can't wait to kid you some more, buddy.
All right, Tommy, have a good one.
See you, Tommy.
All right, have a good summer.
All right, my friend. Thanks, man. Shout out goes out to Tommy Heinsohn for
the
joining
legend.
Us. Some good Paul Pierce stories. What did you think of Pierce signing a one day? I'm a little upset.
Oh,
because I wanted.
Debbie Downer, let's hear it.
No,
hear
I'm
it.
Just saying. I wanted it to be a public ceremony.
They're going
to
do that, Dre.
I know. But man, it seemed kind of quiet. You know, maybe because I was on vacation or something.
You got to understand that Paul wanted it that way. I mean, I don't think it was a coincidence that the day he did that was also the day he went to Bristol to sign his deal with ESPN. I don't think those things just kind of coincidentally happened on the same day. So this was how Paul wanted it, and I respect the fact that he earned the right to close this thing out the way he wanted to. You know, that's one of the beautiful things when you have a career like his and you started from what I consider humble beginnings. I mean, you were supposed to be one of the top four players in the draft, and you slid all the way down to 10. For you to have the kind of career that he has been able to put together primarily in Boston, you close the damn door the way you want to. And that's how if that's how he wanted to end it, then fine. I have no problem with that because I know the Celtics understand that eventually, that jersey's going to go up there sooner rather than later.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you're going to have a public, moment where people can, embrace all that he has meant to this organization, both as a player and a person, and just the way he has grown, both on and off the court. So I mean,
and he's going to be good as a broadcaster. Too.
I think he will be. I think he'll be better than some other former athletes.
Like who?
I'm not going to throw nobody under the bus because that's not what I do.
All right, I was about to say. As long as you ain't talking about my guy Magic Johnson, we all good.
I'll see.
And I know he will be better than Magic, but you can't say that. I'm allowed to say that.
I was
going to
let that one slide, but since she threw him into the ring, yeah. Paul Pierce will not be at the bottom of the pool because you've already established, you know, the basement on players.
The basement, right? Yes. Magic is the ground floor. Before we get out of here, I got to ask you about my guy, Lonzo Ball.
Oh, I thought you were about to say your boy LeVar.
No.
Oh, you want to talk
about LeVar? LeVar is a friend of the show. But
friend of the pod.
Real quick, Lonzo Ball.
He's going to be good. He's going to be real good. But this is the thing about him, though, and it got exposed a little bit in Summer League. He still is not a great shooter. And he's not knocking down shots against Summer League cats. It's only going to get harder for him. But I will say this, though. The smart thing about his game is that he knows that his success depends on those around him.
Exactly.
And he is a facilitator first and foremost. I think you will see him have very Rajon Rondo-like numbers,
yep.
Not only as a rookie, but I think throughout his career.
Yeah.
He's a guy that's not going to be looking for a shot. You know, during Summer League, they were at multiple possessions, and I tapped the guy next to me. It was like, that's a Rondo move, where he'll beat a guy off the dribble, he'll have a layup, and he'll kick it out to the corner. For the guy who's wide open, but you're thinking like, well, damn, you just gave up 2 points. You better hope he knocks down that three. He's going to have those type of growing pains. He, I think, has to do a better job. If he wants to be someone that we can legitimately talk about in the same vein as Jason Kidd, he has to find that balance between when I can attack the rim and get my shots, when I can attack the rim, suck the defense, and find people. That's still – he's a work in progress. But, look, dude hasn't played a single game in the NBA yet. And it's clear that he is going to be, when all said and done, one of the better point guards, not just out of this draft class, but just in the league.
Yeah, and you talk about this draft class, people are very high on this. Are you high on what you've seen so far this summer from the draft class throughout the league?
I am. And to me, what's more telling isn't so much the guys at the top, but the guys near the bottom. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at a guy like Kyle Kuzma for the Lakers.
Yeah.
Who, you know, he started coming on during workouts, and people were – they weren't really sure exactly what you're going to get out of him, but, man, he looked good. But the one thing about him I can say is that he's a perfect fit for the Lakers because he's a guy I don't believe is at a point where he can create his own shots, but he's a good spot-up shooter. And if you're Lonzo Ball, you need as many of those guys around as possible in order to be effective because Lonzo can get to pretty much where he wants to on the floor. He's long. He's got great strides. He's got a nice dribble drive to get to spots that he wants to get to. And if you put him around the right type of guys who can knock down shots, the Lakers, they can sniff the playoffs this year. I don't think they'll get there, but they'll
be an improved team, right?
They will be. I think at the end of the day, you'll have teams 8, 9, 10, and 11, and they should be somewhere in that spectrum.
Mm. And they got my guy KCP. So
I'm not a huge KCP.
I love KCP. That's for the next podcast. Let's get
Stan
on out of here.
Stan Van Gundy, you made the right move in letting that young fella go and getting you Avery Bradley.
AB
I am not
solid,
mad
though.
At you. Good
AB
move. Stan Van Gundy. Good move.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Celtics Talk Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, all the apps out there, and CSNNE.com. Did I say that right? CSNNE.com. Yes, I did.
He really is coming off vacation.
I am, dude. I'm in vacation mode, and we're going to take a little vacation ourselves. The off season is finally here, so it's the off season for the Celtics Talk Podcast. But stay tuned. We'll have another one coming to your way shortly. Frazier, Rob Blakely, I'm Kyle Draper. We'll catch you next time.
We out!